remember that I should attempt to follow up the Thank You Jesus song. But I guess I really have no choice, do I? My message today is entitled On Being Community. And, you know, from the moment that we are conceived, we actually belong to a community. As a matter of fact, it turns out that our attachment to clan is sort of it's a biological necessity. You see, we are wired to connect with others. And those bonds are vital not only for security and survival, but also in order to thrive and for our well-being. See, belonging to a community means acceptance, a sense of belonging. That's a simple word for such a huge concept. Belonging. Belonging is a human need, just like the need for food and the need for shelter. Feeling that you belong is one of the most essential experiences in seeing value in life and also with coping with the difficulties of life. Now, while it is true that we are born into a community, as life goes on, we also begin choosing other communities to which we wish to belong. Now, some find that belonging in being part of a church, some with friends, some with family, some even with Facebook and other social media groups. Some people see themselves as connected to only like one or two other people. Others feel like they are connected to all people, to humanity. And still others struggle to even find any sense of belonging, and their loneliness can actually be physically painful for them. There are also those who seek their sense of belonging through excluding others. It's a concept that by defining who doesn't belong, you can not only define who does, but you can imply that those who belong are somehow better than those who don't. And sadly, it's something that churches have become very skilled at times. And frankly, it's not a very healthy way of doing community. Belonging to a healthy community, however, improves many things in your life, including your health and your happiness. When you experience your connection to others, you begin to see that all people struggle and all people have difficult times. You begin to understand that you are not alone. And there's great comfort in that kind of knowledge. Now, the key to receiving those kinds of benefits is being in a healthy community. It's something we've been working on here for the year and few months that I've been with you, and I have to say that I'm impressed with how far we have all journeyed together. Now, as we continue this journey together, I thought it might be useful to consider what kind of individual behaviors contribute to a healthy community. So, because if we want to get those benefits from a community, we need to work on ensuring that it is a healthy community. And it's also important to keep in mind that in each case, the lack of these things makes for a somewhat detached community. And then if you take it a step further, if the opposite behaviors are practiced by even a few people, it can make for a community that can be hurtful, as it is just as hurtful as it is helpful. Now, by no means what I'm about to talk about is this a complete list, but it certainly touches on a few of the most important behaviors for having a healthy community. The first behavior is hospitality. Now, in many ways, this is sort of a countermeasure to those communities who practice defining who doesn't belong. Hospitality is defined as the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. That's an important behavior for most communities, but it's particularly important for a spiritual community where we're trying to recognize the connection we have to all people. In a spiritual setting, I'd also add that hospitality should be genuine, not something practiced simply for the sake of outward appearance. It's not something we do in order to attract new members. It's something we do out of a place of authenticity. We do it because we care. We do it Because it is who we are. Now, the next quality I'd like to talk about is gratitude. Nobel Peace Prize winner, theologian, and physician Albert Schweitzer once said, "To educate yourself for the feeling of gratitude means to take nothing for granted, but to always seek out and value the kindness that will stand behind the action. Nothing that is done for you is a matter of course. Everything originates in a will for the good, which is directed at you. Train yourself," he says, "train yourself never to put off the word or the action for the expression of gratitude." Recently, there's actually been a bit of an uptick in scientific studies on gratitude. And among the things that the research has shown is that daily discussion of gratitude results in higher reported levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, energy, and sleep duration and quality. Grateful people also report lower levels of depression and stress. It's a concept that's so important that we've actually made it part of our Wednesday night dinners. We begin by sharing with each other the things in our lives from the past week for which we are thankful, for which we are grateful. The reality is we all would be better off if we were to be that intentional about sharing our gratitude every day. As Albert Schweitzer says, train yourself never to put off the word or action for the expression of gratitude. Another quality or behavior of healthy communities is that of being charitable towards each other. Most religions actually teach that being charitable towards others is a spiritual asset. It also turns out that being charitable towards others contributes to a healthy community. Some would go as far as to say that it's impossible to build a sense of belonging and caring without some form of charitable practice. It's related to the South African concept of Ubuntu, which usually translates as "I am because of who we are." Retired Archbishop and social rights activist Desmond Tutu believes that Ubuntu is the very sense of what it is to be human. He says, you can't be human all by yourself. And when you have this quality, Ubuntu, you are known for your generosity. We think of ourselves far too frequently as just individuals, separated from one another. Whereas you are connected, and what you do affects the whole world. When you do well, it spreads out. It is for the world of humanity. Now, if Archbishop Tutu is correct, and we are connected in a way that what you do affects the world, then you better believe that what you do, how charitable you are or are not, has a large impact on the communities to which you belong. A charitable attitude and practice is essential in the health of a community. Now, as I sort of implied as I got started, there are lots of behaviors that make for a healthy community, and so far I've only covered three: hospitality, gratitude, and being charitable to others. Now, some of you might be thinking that those are awful close to being about the same thing, and I would agree with you. You see, I could keep going through a list of things that make a community healthy, but in the end, I believe they are all related to one behavior. So let's cut to the chase and see what that might be. The one behavior to which I believe all healthy communities and their practices that make them healthy is related to is compassion. I'd go as far as to say that all healthy communities' practices are rooted in compassion. Compassion is an essential element of healthy community. It's the awareness of suffering and subsequent actions to alleviate that suffering. See, the absence of compassion in a community contributes to heightened chronic stress at an individual and at a group level. Its presence, though, reduces stress and allows members to flourish. The origins of the word compassion actually come from the Latin root of compati, which means to suffer with. Over time now, the word and the meaning has expanded, but I would argue that at its core, compassion still implies the ability to at least be aware of others' suffering, if not actually suffer with them. Now, I'd also argue that when we recognize that all of us suffer in some way, being compassionate means constantly caring for and identifying with each other. Always rooting our actions out of a place of love and considering how our actions impact the others in our community. Recent scientific studies have actually found that performing or even observing acts of compassion can actually be as contagious as a biological virus. Being infected by compassion could cause what they label elevation. Or to put it more clinically, we experience an emotional response to witnessing others' acts which make us feel unselfish, often with the desire to also act similarly. Now, unfortunately, the opposite can also be true. When we see or experience someone being selfish within community, considering themselves more than the others in the community, it can influence others to either join in or behave in similar ways. However, and this is where I think it gets pretty interesting. The healthier a community is, the less likely others will join in because they recognize the behavior as detrimental to the overall community. So clearly, compassion is essential for the health of a community. And like most behaviors, we can become more compassionate by simply practicing it. It's part of why I brought the idea of roking the world to the community many months ago. Roke, that's R-O-A-K, Random Acts of Kindness, or R-A-O-K. Just about every faith tradition ultimately longs for a more compassionate and peaceful world where all people can experience less suffering and greater well-being for themselves and their families and their communities and even the environment. And the good news is that recent developments in positive psychology, emotional intelligence, mediating practices, and mindfulness training all hold out the hope that we humans can teach and learn the skills that will help us extend compassion to others. And then the further good news is that we are actually born hardwired for compassion, and that's reinforced early on in life through the caregiver-infant bond. Experiencing the suffering of others, acquiring empathy for the suffering of all people, reaching out to help with compassionate action, and feeling that elevation that the scientists speak of, that happens when we perform or observe acts of compassion. So instead of going through a long list which includes hospitality and gratitude and being charitable to others and so many other practices, it may just be that the best way to grow a healthy community and keep it that way is by becoming hyper-focused on one thing, compassion. And the final piece of good news that is that indeed, compassion is contagious. As we continue practicing it in our community, it will bleed out and it will infect not only our lives, but the community and the community it resides in. That will not only lead to a healthier community, but to a healthier world for everybody.
Good morning. I'm Judy. Mark, thank you for your excellent remarks. Speaking only for myself, it'd be great, I think, if you delivered that at least once a quarter. It's not that I am not trying, but I like to be reminded. So thank you. And then I have a word for Daniel, too. The first time he came here, he wasn't really the performer for that day. But he was invited to sing.
Sorry.
And he gave an a cappella performance of an old hymn. Yeah. So maybe he can't include that today. But sometime, Daniel, when you're here, put that one back in your repertoire. Thank you.
That was a special treat, and exactly how we discovered him, wasn't it? We discovered him. Other people knew about him. How we learned about him. Are there others who have anything you'd like to share? Because if not, we get to hear more of him. We got two more.
Sorry.
No. I was just trying to bridge into it since it didn't look like it for a minute there. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm Rebecca, and thank you for the message that was very good. And I think what it struck me was when you were talking about community being a part of being human and or a necessary part, like food and shelter. And as an introvert, I've attempted to live without community at times. And I really thought, you know, that was very possible, but then I realized that that wasn't working out very well for me. But I think sometimes, too, community, it can be painful. I'm not sure really how to describe that. Sometimes we think about, you know, community and the different things, compassion and gratitude and what was the third one? Sorry. It was the third one.
Compassion, gratitude.
Yeah, charity. We think about all of those.
Charity for other folks, yeah.
We think about all of those things, and we think about, oh, love and light and, you know, and the positivity of it. But, you know, sometimes being in community can be painful. Opening yourself up to others, you know, especially when you're an introvert, or seeing other people suffer. And so sometimes it's easier, you know, just to shut down and ignore that, even if it's not the right thing. But so I guess part of, you know, the journey is, you know, learning to be human is, you know, learning to be open, you know, to that side of it, even if it can be painful. And suddenly now I feel like I've given a very somber message, but that was just sort of what struck me this morning.
That's a good response. So. Thank you for sharing that. Did you still have something, Mark? In the back with Mark, and then over here in the back. We got two in the back.
I'm Martha, and some of you may know the story behind the Thank You, Jesus signs. But for those who don't, I thought I'd just take a minute to fill you in. The News and Record did a story on those some time ago. And I don't remember why the teenager started them, but it was a church project. I believe he's from Lexington. And I've actually seen these signs up in Virginia, too. And so he started making them for a project for his church. And then people kept asking for them, which launched him into his own business. He found a printer and printed them and started selling them, I believe, online.
Yeah, I've got a lot of those signs in my neighborhood scattered around. They've been there for the last year or so, I think, and you keep seeing new ones pop up from time to time. But, yeah, I just wanted to play off of what Rebecca had to say about sometimes community is hard and helping. I forget what you said the definition of compassion was, the Latin.
To suffer with.
To suffer with, yeah. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. Yeah. And it's. I think there's a part of us that kind of wants to back away from suffering. And it's hard to engage and be a part of that, sharing it. And sometimes I think it's because we don't know what we can do, or we don't know how we could possibly help a person. And it seems to me a lot of times it's not speaking or talking. It's just your presence is yep. is maybe the best thing you can do to help that person. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Daniel and thank you. I told Mark this morning before the service, I said, I'm expecting to be blessed today. I said, because I worked all day Saturday, and then I got called in again at 11:30 last night at the university and worked a good part of the night over there. And so I said, I really did not want to come today. but I did, and it's been worth it. So thanks.
I would play off of that and say that the Latin root and the definition of it, to suffer with, the most important word is with. Yeah, with.
Hello, my name is Shawan. I'm a visitor, and thank you all for welcoming me here. I have a short attention span, and one of the things that helps keep me focused is, if not repeating everything in my head, taking notes. So I'm just taking notes here. constantly on my spiritual journey, I've run into similar messages, and I'm focusing on being my best self. One thing that struck me this morning about the message was that we are hardwired toward compassion. It is who we really are at our best selves, not just compassion, but all of the things that the Bible teaches us in spirituality. It's really who we are at our essence. We all have that God particle, if you will, within us. And I think that our fear keeps us in a state of blocking those things for fear of pain. But what I've come to notice is that the pain comes from not being who you truly are. Mm. I think it is detrimental to our emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being, and I think that may be one reason we're seeing such rampant disease in our communities today. I just wanted to say thank you to Mark for another wonderful message, well delivered, and thank you for the music. I really do come here for that. and I will focus today and more often on hospitality, gratitude, charity, and compassion. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
I'm Chuck. It's one, you said that you could go on probably all morning adding things to what constitutes community. And I think that you might wanted to add one more, and that would have been trust.
Sure.
I think without trust, the whole thing crumbles.
Absolutely.
Wanted to go back to what Martha said about the thank you Jesus signs. I saw one the other day out at one of our local nature preserves that somebody had altered and then put up. And what they had done is they had put quotation marks, and then across the top of the sign they put, please don't litter, thank you, close quotation marks, Jesus.
Cute and clever.
I'm going to make one comment now before, so it's not
good. Right ahead.
Which was, as I was thinking about your topic, I think church communities have such high expectations on them, and that maybe the only other institution that we have more, even higher expectations is marriage, and that we forget that both of those take our continued work to keep them healthy.
Absolutely. So. Thank you for sharing. Sure.